Right, this is the View My Seats podcast. I'm John, and we are starting a tradition here with my good friend Dave. This is the first ever, and hopefully this will be a weekly occurrence, this is the first ever NFL confidence picks. And starting with week two of the 2013 NFL season. Dave, how are you feeling about your picks?
I'm feeling great about my picks. I'm feeling less great about our history with carrying initiatives all the way through.
Well, the good news is we both now have computers. We're in a place where the technology makes sense, and we can both hopefully carve out enough time to do this every week. So the basic premise is this: rather than just pick lines and pick winners, we're going to try to rank all the NFL games based on our confidence as far as teams and their ability to either cover the spread or not cover the spread. And so we've tried to narrow it down. I guess we're going to do top five. If it turns to be a success and people would like to listen to us talk about all 16 games, then maybe we can rank them 16 through one. But for today, we're just going to do week two confidence picks, top five confidence picks. And I thought what we'd do here, Dave, if it's all right with you, is we'd start with you. You'd give us your fifth, and we'd go from there. We'll do a snake draft. You go, I go, I go, you go.
So I'm gonna start with the pick that I am least confident about of my top five.
That's right. Your number five confidence pick for week two.
I wish I had known this, because this is gonna be embarrassing.
All right, give it to us anyway.
So the game, and this is timely also, because the game that I am fifth most confident about the outcome for week two is actually the New York Jets getting 11.5 points against your New England Patriots at the big Razor up north. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'll tell you, that line must have gone down, because I had it at 13.
It did.
You're placing a lot of faith there in an offensive rookie of the year candidate, Geno Smith.
Would you classify that race as a two horse race?
Yeah, obviously I watched the New England Buffalo game week one, and how could you not come away from that impressed with EJ Manuel? I don't know why. I had never heard or seen him play at Florida State, but he's pretty darn good.
And it's actually funny, because I'm a pretty reasonable college football fan. When I watch, I tend to cheer for Florida State. It goes back to my childhood and Deion Sanders. And I can actually tell you, I watched a lot of their games. He wasn't very good. And what I saw on Sunday, my wife forced me to watch the Patriots game, is a much different guy. And some guys just happen to have a game that more suited for the NFL than maybe they were than it was in college. He might be one of those guys. He looked pretty good.
Little scary. If you're a Buffalo Bills fan, for the first time in a long time, you've got to feel good about your quarterback situation. I don't know the last time they've had a really competent quarterback. Maybe Doug Flutie, maybe Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly more than Doug Flutie. You know, you had the Trent Edwards era. They seem to have these guys that have good half seasons. They throw a bunch of money at them. Didn't they give Trent Edwards a huge contract? Didn't they give Ryan Fitzpatrick a huge contract?
I don't even really remember who Trent Edwards is. And for some reason, Trent Edwards and Ryan Fitzpatrick are the same person. They look very similar, right?
There's a beard involved.
So your fifth pick is the Patriots getting 11.5. So just so we're
no,
clear
Patriots
about,
giving 11
giving,
and
sorry,
half.
Just so we're clear about the rules. You're confident because you think the Jets will cover the 11.5, not because you necessarily think the Jets will win.
Well, I certainly don't think that.
Okay.
I think 13 is certainly too high, I think, especially in a rivalry game, especially this early in the season when weather's not going to be a factor, especially when the Patriots are missing what seems now like two of their only skill player weapons. It seems like Amendola is not going to play and Breen is definitely out. So I feel pretty good about, anything over double digits. I think the Jets, just on moxie, can keep it close.
I like it. I like that as a fifth pick. I think this game will probably be played within the realm of 7 to 10 points. It's always the other thing you have to wonder about is the short week. And the one thing I think going against your pick there is the fact that I know the Patriots are depleted at wide receiver, most definitely, but the Jets have a rookie quarterback on a short week, and so I'm sure New England's just licking its chops. I don't know. That's I don't imagine the Jets will win, but it'll be interesting if they keep it close and how that turns people's opinions of the Jets this year and Geno Smith in particular. So I've decided not to go there for my fifth pick. That's not in my top five. No offense to you. I'm with my fifth pick for NFL Week 2 confidence picks. The game I'm the most confident about, or the fifth most confident about.
Not that confident at all.
Yeah. Well, kind of confident in the grand scheme of 16 total games is, what I think is the game of the week. And that is Seattle, given 2.5 over San Francisco.
Should I spoil my later picks and tell you that this is on my board?
You can just say it's on your board, but
it's on my board.
That's excellent. This is, I told you beforehand that we wanted to raise the degree of difficulty here and not try to challenge ourselves with some of these closer contests. And this is, I think, obviously the game of the week, the game that everyone's going to want to watch on Sunday night. And I'm in looking, it's funny, I didn't know which way I wanted to be confident with the game, but I knew either way I was going to be confident. So
that doesn't necessarily inspire confidence.
No, exactly. So I've decided to stay with my original gut feeling, which was I feel fairly confident that Seattle is going to cover the 3, even though, or 2.5, even though San Francisco had an impressive performance in week one, Seattle looked kind of blah in Carolina week one. I just think that Seattle and their home field advantage and I like their chances in a night game opening up their home campaign. So I'll go with Seattle, given the 2.5, over San Francisco for my fifth pick.
Let me throw a little monkey wrench in there. Two great defenses, yeah?
Yes.
There aren't a lot of eventualities in a fairly low-scoring game that are gonna lead you to an outcome under 3 points.
So you're saying it's gonna be played somewhere in the 24 or the 23-20? Well, that's over 3.
Something like 24-21, 17-14, 27-17,
right around there, yeah.
Something like that. There were a lot of safeties last week. You know, this wouldn't be crazy, but that a lot of the safeties were sort of due to ineptitude.
Yeah.
These guys don't seem to make a ton of mistakes. I don't know. I don't want to give too much away, but that 2.5 versus 3
is a big difference.
Threw me off a little bit.
All right, well, we can come back to it when it comes up in your list. So I'm just going to skip ahead, and I'm going to go to my fourth, then we can do your fourth. So my fourth for top five here, confidence picks week 2, is I'm guessing the Ravens -7 are going to bounce back at home over Cleveland. Feeling pretty good about that. What about you?
How do I feel about that game, or what's my fourth?
How do you feel about the Ravens?
I feel pretty good about the Ravens. I feel really good about Torrey Smith. I feel like they are right in line with this trend that's sweeping the NFL of going away from a feature back. And I think, you know, as the year goes on, they're gonna do a little thunder and lightning action with Rice and Pierce. I think Torrey Smith is coming into his own. Joe Flacco got paid. He's got nothing to worry about. Their defense looked pretty good in the first half last week.
Yeah, I was asleep before the second half, so I couldn't tell you what the heck happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, I fell asleep, and then Peyton Manning threw 5 touchdowns. The 7 points is a lot. Cleveland looked woeful last week, and I think they have much higher expectations than how they looked on the field. You know, new management, older rookie quarterback, not a rookie anymore.
He's our age. It would be like if you or I suited up.
In a lot of different ways, you're right.
I think we have more mobility. Poor Brandon Whedon. I wonder if he got paid at Oklahoma State. We can save that for another conversation. Yeah, here's the last thing I'll say about Baltimore and Cleveland is I as an Orioles fan feel terrible that the Ravens had to open their season on the road, seeing as how The Orioles made them move that opening night game to Denver, and it was their right to play at home, but Major League Baseball and the Orioles made them move that game because the Orioles had a home game versus the dreadful Chicago White Sox, which they drew less than 20,000 fans for.
Yeah, so, I actually heard it was Angelos' decision.
It may or may not have been, but you're in the middle of a pennant race. It's year two of this renaissance in the Inner Harbor as far as finally having a baseball team that's worth watching, and you draw less than 20,000 on the night when you made the Ravens move to Denver.
Because everybody was at home watching the Ravens.
Probably a fantastic reason. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there as some of my bitterness with the Orioles as they limp towards the finish. But what is your what's your four?
Let's take a look. Oh, this is a good one. So I mean, it's not that marquee a game. The line is close. We were just talking about them before. Sort of the other way. I'm fairly confident. These next four, I'm pretty confident about. This one, out of those four, I'm less so, but I think on the road, pleasant conditions, Carolina looks better this week and beats Buffalo by more than 3.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
Possibly a lot more than 3. I think
wow,
Buffalo's
Buffalo at home. You just talked glowingly about EJ Manuel, and you're still going to give it to Cam Newton. Interesting.
This is how it's done, Rook.
All right, give us number 3. Then we'll jump right ahead to number 3 for you.
Let's see what I got.
We've got eventually. I'm hoping that we've got a few checker and a checkers here. I'd like to have the same ones in the same spot. We'll see.
This is close. I'm my third confidence pick. You've already mentioned. And I'm going to go the other way. I feel like San Francisco is going to cover the 2.5 that they're going to use the 2.5 that they're getting, and I think they're going to beat Seattle. So not only am I confident that San Francisco is going to cover, I would take this game on the money line. And even though it's at night, even though it's in a crazy environment with the 12th man, I loved what I saw out of the Niners last week. Their defense, I think, was the best defense in football last year. What they've done on offense this year is crazy. They've got sort of a two-back set. They've got weapons on weapons on weapons with Kaepernick and Gore and Davis look great, and Bolden. The team is stacked.
And they have a psychotic head coach who apparently was told he can't wear Reebok. They made him change.
Because we're a Nike league now.
He came out in Reebok, and they made him change. Can you imagine that conversation between the NFL and Jim Harbaugh at halftime? Coach, you need to put on some Nike cleats. Steam coming from his ears.
I didn't hear that. That's crazy. I wouldn't tell that guy anything.
You know,
doing a great job, Coach.
Yeah. If there are any soccer fans eventually listening, I'm sure they would dispute our contention that the home crowd at Seattle for football is the best home crowd in all of sports, because I think they would argue that it doesn't get any better than Columbus for U.S. National team soccer matches.
Well, don't they do crazy things for the Sounders also? Don't they? Isn't that a really rabid soccer crowd up there in Seattle too?
I think so, but all anyone talks about today is how Columbus is like this huge home field advantage for the U.S. men's soccer team.
You know why? Do you know the genesis of playing these games in Columbus?
Yeah, I guess. And I guess there's something strange about how they always win 2-0. See, this is how little I know about soccer.
So, think the biggest problem, and this all started about 12 years ago. This is a really interesting story, and it makes a little bit of sense. It started about 12 years ago, maybe even more than that, when everywhere we played Mexico, we were getting our butts kicked, just destroyed. We'd play them down in Mexico City at Azteca and get killed. We'd play them in any of our big stadiums, and we'd get killed there too. So when Bruce Arena was still the coach, he had this bright idea. Actually, when he was just starting out as coach, he said, we need to find a place, and I'm not being insensitive here. He said, we need to find a place in this country to develop a home field advantage that has the fewest potential Mexican fans as possible.
That's interesting. What better place than Ohio?
And that's exactly what happened. I was watching with my wife last night when we got home, and she said, why is this game being played in Columbus? The field is tiny. It's in the middle of nowhere. And I said, it's exactly right. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's not near any city. And I was sort of saying this tongue in cheek, and it's going to keep all the Mexican fans away. And I was reading somewhere online this morning, that's exactly why they'd pick Columbus, and that's where, until this Dos Acero thing goes away, that's where we're going to be playing Mexico.
That's fascinating. That's actually a good story. I had no idea about that. I guess their choices were either Columbus, Ohio, or maybe Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and they decided Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, just staying away from those seaboards and the cities.
All right, my number three competence pick for week two. I'm expecting a big week from the Giants. I think they're going to bounce back and cover the six at home against Denver.
Yeah, I was thinking about taking this one, and I think that's another game like, you know, we were talking about the Jets before. It's probably going to play closer than it should. You know, this is the Giants' first home game. They looked dismal last week. If there's anything that Coach Coughlin can do, he can get them ready to play. Eli doesn't want to get embarrassed. Maybe Brandon Jacobs is carrying the ball this week.
Right,
you know?
That's right.
But I think it should be played within a touchdown, and I think that 5.5 is fair. I stayed away from it, though, because you never know what that Denver offense is going
to
do.
There will probably be a lot of points scored, that's for sure.
One would think.
That's my number three. Bouncing ahead to my number two. We've got four picks left, top two here. I've got a couple of touchdown spreads here with my two and my one, and it seems like we're going to match up with our one. I think I know where you're going there. My number two competence pick for week two, I think the Packers are going to hand it to RG3 in Washington. I watched some of that Skins and Eagles game, and I don't know how you put that guy on the field after, I don't know how many months after ACL surgery, but there needs to be a lot more confidence from him in order to play this game. And I was actually fearful for his well-being and safety out there. And I couldn't believe the guy was playing. It looked like every time that there was pressure and he fell to the ground and they flashed to Dr. Andrews on the sideline, he'd give this like disapproving glance. Like, you know, if you brought a girl home from a dance like 5 minutes late, you know, the dad shows up on the front stoop and is looking at you with his, you know, arms crossed and his hand up to his mouth, kind of, you know, doing the whole, you said 10:30.
Yeah. I mean, Dr.
Andrews was that dad.
You don't want to mess with that guy. And it seems like he wasn't really being listened to. And it's sort of hard to, it reminded me a lot of the Derrick Rose situation. You know, you have to sort of turn your back on an entire fan base and not turn on your radio or read the newspaper, and you just stay away from the entire media. And, you know, and I'm not saying Andrews wouldn't do that. I think he would. I think he's at a point where he's, you know, he's the only one who does what he does. He doesn't have to listen to that stuff. But I think the franchise had heard enough. And I think that, you know, he was going to start the season no matter what. And I agree with you. He looked kind of dodgy. The only thing I kept thinking was, and this is kind of selfish, I really hope that Dr. James Andrews takes much better care of Matt Harvey when he goes to see him.
Right.
It was dicey out there.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about the Mets. We'll reserve some other time to talk about the Mets. So, yeah, I just like Green Bay. I think they'll bounce back after San Francisco. I'm not so confident in RG3 in Washington. I hope the guy heals properly because I want to see him play 100% healthy. I don't want any of this, you know, regressing or getting re-injuring, any of that. That would just be so bad for the league. So I still like Green Bay. What about you, number two?
My last two are slam dunks. I don't even know, and I don't even know how the lines ended up as they are here, but Detroit at Arizona, Detroit's giving 2.5 points. Detroit looked fantastic last week. You know, and Arizona is Arizona. I know they sort of have a new love connection with Palmer and Fitz, but there's not much else to them. I know their defensive backfield is great. Honey Badger looked great. Peterson is Peterson, very unheralded, but awesome. But the Lions, I think the Lions are for real. So I take them giving away 2.5 points. You know, they're going to win in a blowout.
That's funny because I didn't even think about that game. Either way, I just looked at both.
You
teams.
Would.
I
you
just
would.
Looked at, I just looked at that has 405 on Fox written all over it.
The game is buried. It's buried. Nobody will even give it a second glance, and maybe the odds makers didn't either.
Poor Ron Pitts and whoever he works with.
Yeah.
All right, top pick for you. Top pick for you.
Speaking of buried games that nobody would give a second glance to, good segue. Another one where I have no idea how they got to this line. A team that probably looked worse than any team I can remember opening a season, just couldn't do anything. against a team that is sort of in a bounce back season. They had a very rough go of it last year for a lot of different reasons. I've got New Orleans on the road at the Big Sombrero, giving 4, also winning in a laugher. I don't know how this game could possibly be close.
That's an excellent choice for the top pick. I love that pick, and in fact, I'm kind of upset that I totally glanced over it when coming up with this list. So, you know, I watched the 1 o'clock on Sunday, last Sunday, and I'm not certainly interested at all in the Jets game, but it was on because it's local New York, whatever, and that Tampa Bay team, something may have happened on the bus right over, but they do not seem like they like one another.
Well, I heard, I don't know when this happened, but they stripped the captaincy from the quarterback?
They didn't vote for him this year. They said during the broadcast that he's been voted captain for the last 3 years, but they didn't vote for him this year. And the guy doesn't have a contract for next year, and there were defensive players getting mad at him, like when he took a stupid safety, and it just looked like the coaches were on the sideline fighting. It looked like a hostile environment. Like, do you know how when sometimes you're watching something on TV, it could be a sporting event and something else, and you just start to get a sense of, like, discomfort and agita and, like, cold sweat? I started to, like, really feel uncomfortable. Like, God, these guys should know that they're on TV.
Yeah, there's a vibe there. It wasn't good. You know, granted, they still should have won the game. The Jets are bad. The Bucs still should have won the game. They didn't win the game. You know, that's what matters. And really, they weren't very impressive. Doug Martin looked great last year. He looked like garbage, you know, this game. Vincent Jackson looked good, but a lot of that was, you know, two big plays that he just sort of got loose in a very weak Jets secondary. So I think there's a chance the Bucs are the worst team in football.
Yeah, it could work out that way. And then what happens with the coach and the quarterback? You know, I'm a little mad at myself that I did not look at this game a little bit closer. So I went in a totally different direction with my top confidence pick for week 2.
Can I stop you for 1 second?
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear.
Yeah. Good. I think we're all.
I didn't think I was going to be. I'm excited to hear.
Good. Go we're ahead. All out of froth here. See, it works better when you just do 5 instead of 16. So my top pick here, most confident in this week, is Cincinnati giving 7 points at home against Pittsburgh.
You like the Bengals?
Well, I didn't like Hard Knocks.
I did. I always like Hard Knocks, though. That show's the best.
Didn't care for it.
What didn't you like about it?
Well, I only watched about 5-10 minutes of it total. It didn't really captivate me. Plus, weren't they already there 3 years ago? Anyway, that's beside the point. The point is that I cannot imagine Pittsburgh recovering after losing their center and just looking totally inept on offense. And
who their center was?
Yeah, one of the Pouncies. It could be a total rebuilding effort. Plus, if Cincinnati has any aspirations on the playoffs and beyond, they got to win at home, and Pittsburgh goes 0-2, and it's a 7-point spread, and I like Cincinnati. That's my top pick for the week. I'm looking at my list now. I'm not so confident in my confidence picks. I like your Tampa Bay New Orleans pick. I think that's a smart pick. That's a good pick to be most confident in.
I like your Bengals pick. I don't know how the only reason I don't like it. I agree that Pittsburgh is bad, and I think that Cincinnati is good. They're one of the better teams in the conference. The only thing I don't like about it is it's a rivalry game. Those games tend to be we talked about it. They tend to be played, you know, closer to 3 than they do 7. That 7 points is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. I know, and it could end up being, you know, 4 or 5. You know, late. Late touchdown keeps it, brings it back to 3, a field goal, whatever. So let's recap week 2.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Can you think of any other quarterbacks whose hair color matches their team uniforms?
Yes. I will go with no, Russell Wilson doesn't have green hair. Forget it.
I just think it's great that he has such orange hair.
It is. It actually, there are streaks of black in it. So I think it actually matches the Bengal perfectly.
That's why they drafted him.
All right, top 5, you had New England given the 11.5 with the Jets. Then you go to Buffalo +3 with, who's that, Carolina. And then Arizona, Detroit. And then you end with Tampa Bay and New Orleans. And I go game of the week. Oh, I skipped over that for you. I go.
Let me read you my five. Ready?
Go ahead.
I've got the Jets getting 11.5.
Yeah.
I have Carolina giving 3
yeah.
on the road. I have San Francisco getting 2.5 on the road at night.
Yeah.
I have Detroit giving away 2.5 on the road in the afternoon, buried. And then I have New Orleans giving 4 also on the road. I took 5 road teams.
You did. That's a risk. That's risky. I took Seattle giving the 2.5 at home of San Francisco. I took Baltimore giving the 7 at home against Cleveland. I took New York Giants getting 6 at home against Denver. I took the Packers at home giving the 7. And then I end with Cincinnati at home giving the 7. It'll be a fun week for sure. Thanks, Dave, for helping out.
You got it, buddy.
Talk to you soon.